Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Today we're in the book of Ephesians. We've gone through the first five chapters, and we're into the last chapter. We're homeward bound, chapter 6. And we've just been talking about how the book of Ephesians is the book that talks about the church, why the church exists, why we're here, what is God's picture of the church, and what a blessing it is to be the church, to be called by God, to be a part of His family, chosen by Him. And so we've been breaking down how the first three chapters of Ephesians, it just lays out, here is God's plan. Here's what God thinks of you and thinks of the church. And then these last three chapters of Ephesians are about what does that mean for us in how we live? Because in the end, it's always about how do we apply the word to our lives, right? It's what are we going to do about it? That's really why, as a church, we don't just have Sundays. We have our connect groups, our small groups throughout the week that meet where you can really break it down and get into each other's lives and say, what is God doing in your life? And how are you applying the word to your life? What is God speaking to you? And how do you see Jesus in your life? And how do you draw closer to Him in your everyday life? And how are you becoming more like Him? Where are the challenges in your life? And where is God moving? And I love the stories. Throughout the week, I have the privilege of meeting with so many of you during the week. And just hearing the things that God is doing throughout the week is always a blessing. You know, it's rare that we go a week without just talking and sharing tears somewhere. Tears of joy of how God is moving in people's lives. Tears of pain. What it's like to live in a sin-broken world and be sin-broken people that need God. But the Bible says that we celebrate with those that celebrate, and we weep with those that weep, and that's what church is. And so here we are, chapter 6, as we come into this. We're looking now at especially family relationships. These principles apply to every relationship. And so as we went through chapter 4, and kind of breaking down the different things where Paul says in the book to the Ephesians, says, hey, now that you're a believer, here's how your life has to change. You need to leave the old behind and come into the new. And just put aside lying. Start to be honest with each other. And you know, we have this thing nowadays that where we think in our current culture, honesty is just, you know, whatever I feel, I just need to let you know my opinion and my feelings. And we're just going to let it rip. And that's not what the Bible is talking about. What God is talking about is an intimate honesty. It's an honesty that is geared towards the other person. And saying, what do they need to know about me? What do I need to be talking about that's going to help our relationship get closer? And it's totally different from the world's kind of honesty, because the world's kind of honesty is focus on myself and make my opinion known. But when God came to us through Jesus, He didn't come and just say, let me tell you everything that, you know, that I know. But when He came and said, what do they need to know? When Jesus came, He spent the first 30 years of His life in silence, just so that we would know that He knows us. And then He began to proclaim. But as He began to proclaim, the things that He talked about were the things that we needed to know in order to bond more closely with Him. And so He says, quit lying. So speak truth with each other. So don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, don't let anger control your life. I love that prayer, you know, that God wants to set us free. And this is what church does. Because all of us have areas in our life where we're bound and we're hurt and we have habits that we need to get rid of and attitudes that we need to change. But God calls us into family to do this together. The church is not about putting on our Sunday best and coming and showing up. Church is about allowing people to see your worst. We talked about it, it was last week, the week before, how, you know, we're never going to grow to trust. And we're never going to become one without getting into some of the junk in each other's lives. We always tell our small group leaders, until you have some conflict in your small group, you're really not a small group. You're really not doing discipleship. You're really not sharing life together. Because we're all broken, and the more that we open up, conflict will come. But it's the path. It's unity. And it's the only way we really help each other is when we begin to see each other's junk. So quit stealing. Instead, work hard and be generous. These are all just principles that apply to all of us. And then he comes in chapter 5, before getting into the family stuff, he starts off by saying, learn to submit to one another. And that is the primary posture that we need to take in order to be the church. It's submission to one another. And we don't like that. I don't know about you, but I don't think of submission as a good thing. I think of submission as wrestling my brothers, and when they finally get you into a painful position, then it's like, submit! And like, okay, you know? That's what I think of it, submission. Growing up with five brothers, you know, there was a lot of wrestling. Put five boys in one bedroom, there's a lot of wrestling all the time. People getting holes in their heads and, you know, cuts in, bruises everywhere. I'd like to say that that I was always the guy who won those fights. And that's my story. I'm sticking with it. That's right. Well, yeah, I got to be honest, I guess. So, right. In my heart, I won all. But you know, that is life. And submission is the key posture that we need to take for this to work. And that's hard. But it just keeps on getting harder. So, you know, and then he starts breaking it down. Remember, he goes like, then he breaks it down how in each of us, how we're supposed to submit. And it's interesting because Jesus doesn't say, you know, now here's how you make each other submit. He says, no, here's how you choose to submit. It's really about our choosing. Submission is about our choosing. It's not about our pointing out to others or how we order others around. And so he starts off by saying, wives, here's how you submit. And then he says, husbands, here's how you submit. Because all of us need to learn to walk in submission. And the point of wives submitting to their husbands is not husbands telling their wives to submit. It's about wives aspiring to relate to their husbands the way that the church relates to Jesus. Because in the end, we talked about how marriage really is all about we as a church, how to relate to Jesus. And your marriage should make your wife more like Jesus and you more like Jesus. So if the way, husbands, that you're treating your wife is not helping her to become more like Jesus, you need to change. She doesn't need to change. You need to change.
Yes.
And wives? That's my wife. I finally got an amen out of her. So good. You know, it's so funny. I love my wife. This past week was my birthday, which is so much fun. Yeah, and we're fasting on my birthday. That's also not as much fun. But so, you know, throughout the week, she's like on her computer more than she normally is. And she's always on her computer, but it's even more. And I'm like, yeah, I was getting a little irritated. Mostly because I'm fasting, I'm always irritated. So, sorry. It's really good we don't all meet in an office. Because when I used to have church in the office and meet all the time, the staff would always know, oh, Bruce is fasting. You know, call me out. But anyway, so I'm getting a little grumpy with her. And then I find out she's doing all this stuff for my birthday. And then I felt bad about it. So, still love you, babe. You know, we talked about how marriage, whoever you're married to is who you're going to have the most conflict with. And so if you're not having conflict with Jesus sometimes, then you're probably not drawing close to him. Because his disciples had conflict with him. Because most of us are not born perfect. Most of us have a lot that needs to be straightened out. And when we have conflict with Jesus, it just means that we need to change. And if you're like me, I have a lot of change that needs to happen. And the closer I get to Jesus, the more I realize I have a lot I need to change. And that is the Christian experience. Anyway, I better get on to here. I won't get into today's sermon, and then we'll be carrying on a lot and this will go forever. All right. So now we're coming out of the marriage thing, which remember we also said that marriage is not the greatest picture of our relationship with God. And the point of marriage, the Bible says marriage is just a picture of the church's relationship with Christ. And we are the church, our relationship with Christ. Pictures are great, but the real thing is actually the relationship with Christ. So in other words, your marriage is intended to help you in your relationship with Jesus. It is intended to help you be a part of the church, which is the bride of Christ. Not the other way around. And sometimes we get it the other way around. Like, oh, the church is here to help my marriage so I can have a perfect marriage. No, your marriage is supposed to help you learn how to relate better to be the church, to relate to Christ. And that's who we're called to be. But for the singles, we also reminded them that the most fruitful person ever in the kingdom of God in human history was single for his whole life. So there's no shortage of impact that you can have as a single. Amen? All good with that? All right, so let's do this here. Ephesians, now we're jumping into children. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. There you go. All right. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. So here we come into children, obey your parents. How many of you have been children? It's good. Feel us. Now, we love to point out, you know, children obey your parents, but you know, once we grow to adults, we only need to honor our parents. But here's the thing, if you didn't learn how to obey when you were a kid, that lesson does not pass you by. Because all of us have to learn to obey. Because that's a part of submission. And we're all called to submit to one another and to submit to Christ. So if you didn't learn that when you were a kid, guess what? You get to learn it now. Because we all have to learn to walk in obedience. The Bible says, even Jesus, right? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, even though Jesus was God's son, which means he probably was pretty good at obeying, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. And so, children, obey your parents. Why? Because you belong to the Lord. So, if you belong to the Lord, you're going to be called into obedience. I love, we sang that song earlier. That was amazing. I love our worship team. And I love that song we sang in the beginning, I Surrender All. Such an amazing song, one of my favorites. And it's a cool song to sing in church when you're all with a bunch of people in church and the music's really good and the lights are down and I surrender all. You know, it's just really cool. But in real life, it's surrender comes in moments of pain. Jesus learned obedience through his suffering. He didn't learn obedience in the midst of the beautiful worship service. We don't learn surrender in the middle of a beautiful worship service. We learn surrender when our will gets challenged by our circumstances and by God's commands in our lives and by the people that God has put us with that we're supposed to submit to. That's where our surrender has to come in. This is where we learn obedience. And if you're finding yourself in a tough place to at work all the time, like my boss is so horrible, or if you find yourself like, Jesus, I don't really want, do I have to be nice to that person? Do I have to witness to that guy? You know, he's just going to make fun of me. I surrender all. So you look in your life and you say, where's the point of pain in my life? Where's the point of frustration in my life? And that's what you gotta sing. I surrender all. That's where Jesus learned obedience, by the things that he suffered. So welcome to the place of pain. Probably most of you never even saw the movie with Mr. T. I love this, the Rocky movie. I think it was Rocky 3 or something, you know. Mr. T, I don't know, he's a big black guy with the bald head, all the chains, and he's gonna fight Rocky. And they're like, I forget what his name was, but they're like, so what do you predict for this fight? And so he looks into the canvas. I predict pain. That's what we predict for your life. This is our new church t-shirt. There will be pain. But if Jesus, who is with the Father through all of eternity, perfect, never sinned, if he had to learn obedience through suffering, it's going to come to us too. So welcome to that. It's good. I can say, I have all these thoughts in my brain I want to say, but they're just really sarcastic. So, all right. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So, as we become Christians, there's going to be transformation has to happen in your life. God is going to call you to places of change. Yeah. And how the change will probably happen is through suffering and pain and frustration and bothersome things. This is what God does. But the good thing is, no matter how bothered you are, Jesus, his Holy Spirit, is the power to transform your life. And in Christ, all things are made new. So you and I, as we're in this place, we're in a place where God wants to transform our lives, and he's going to use the folks around us. So turn to someone, tell them, you might be my place of pain. But honestly, you know, this is not just for kids and not just for adults. We all just need to learn to obey. If you've ever led a team, it's always the one who doesn't know how to submit that's tough to work with. If you ever had kids, there's always that one kid, right? And one brother, we'll name him, but you know, just always had his own thoughts and ideas about stuff, which we loved, honestly. To be honest, it made life fun. And so that's one side of it. All right. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. So we're all meant to honor. We all need to learn to obey as kids. And if we don't learn to obey as kids, then find a place to learn it now. That's part of being in a small group with people that you're with all the time. And you learn to submit to one another. Because it's easy to submit to each other in church and when we occasionally cross paths. But when you start sharing life and walking together, it's more difficult. And so we encourage you, get in a place with people that you're with regularly and learn that. And honor your father and mother. First commandment with a promise. God calls us to be people who honor. And why does God have to command us to honor each other? And especially our parents. It's because our parents are broken by sin just like we are. Every leader that you will be with, every parent, your parent, I don't know, maybe you had perfect parents, but everyone that I know, their parents have flaws. And that's why we need to honor. Because honor is not about just being nice to the people you think are perfect. Honor really comes in the moments when it's difficult. That's really when they're honoring, right? The guy who gives you gifts and is just nice to you all the time, that's easy. But real honor comes when we struggle, right, to give respect. And your leaders, your parents will all be flawed. But see, this is what we're supposed to learn in the family, so that when we get into real life, we already know how to obey. We know how to submit. We know how to honor. But families are so messed up, and this is why the enemy constantly tries to tear down families. And where we encourage you, you know, to we gotta fight for families for healthy families. As a church, we can't just complain about the families in society, in the community and in society, you know, having bad values or being dysfunctional. We need to help the community around us have functional families. And so I'm so grateful for families in our church that function well. But I'll encourage you, if you struggle with obedience and honor, ask for God's help. Yeah. And ask for the guys in your small group. That is what small groups are about. Yeah. Really talking about where the places we struggle, and then getting people to help us. As a church, actually, in September, we'll have a seminar on just parenting. So we just want to come alongside and help. We believe that as a church, one of the main things that we can do here in Taiwan is to begin to build healthy families and to help others build healthy families. Verse 3. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. So learn to honor. And honestly, if you have struggle, if your family is dysfunctional and you've grown up without that, I want to encourage you, you know, just start in your small group and just say, hey, listen, you know, this is something I didn't learn. I never learned obedience. I was just the black sheep. So what does that look like here for us? Because we're all called to submit to one another. Which means we're all called to obey one another. And what does that look like? I tell you this, though, in heaven, there's not like the father and son aren't arguing like who's in charge. there's a mutual submission there. And we have this picture sometimes of leadership and followership that's hierarchical. You have the nomination and the other people are just subjected to you. We have this picture of submission as being dominance and subjection. And that is not the biblical picture. The biblical picture is mutual submission of saying, okay, at this moment, you're the one leading. And so we're going to obey. We're going to submit. And it doesn't mean you can't question. Jesus questioned the Father. He said, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But he submitted. And it's how we learn to submit to each other. You know, you let one of your small group leaders say, okay, you plan the next event, the next outing, the next thing you do. And then you learn to submit to them. Even if they're doing something you don't like, the way you don't like it, join a ministry team. Learn some honor and submission. All right. Verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And all of us in places, you know, we're all called. When God said, have dominion to Adam and Eve, we're all called to have dominion. In other words, we're all called to lead. But again, it's not a dominion of subjugation. It's a dominion of serving. It's a dominion of how do I help this person flourish? How do I need to sacrificially lead? How do I need to lay down my life so that those around me can flourish? See, the real picture of your leadership is how well are the people around you flourishing? Are you becoming what they need to flourish? Because in the end, you can't change anyone. You can only change yourself. And so are you willing to change yourself like Jesus Jesus didn't just stay in heaven and tell us what to do. He came down amongst us. He laid down his life. He did everything that we needed. He didn't need to become a little baby to understand us. He made us. He didn't need to die for his sins. He needed to die for our sins. And whose sins are you willing to die for? That's really your qualification of leadership. If you're willing to die, lay down your life for the faults of the people that you lead, that's Jesus' kind of leadership. And don't just wait till your mom or dad to do that. Start now. Start learning to lead that way now. And that's for men, women, singles. All of us need to learn because we're all called to serve in that way. So don't think, you know, when I finally have kids, then I'll learn this. Do your kids a favor. Learn how to lead with humility and grace now. Learn how to raise your kids without provoking them to anger. Kids are always going to get angry. It's just being broken kids. But it's whether or not you are provoking them, you're exasperating them, you're grinding them in ways that are not helping them to flourish. Bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. What does that mean? That means that you need to start learning to be disciplined now in your life. So that as you raise them in a culture of discipline. Where they can count on you to do what you say you're going to do. Where they can count on you to be consistent in the things you ask them to do. You follow through with your promises. You give them boundaries that they don't have to guess. What do mom and dad want? What are the boundaries now? Why is dad mad at me? But it's consistent based on the principles and the values that you've communicated to them. And that starts now. It starts with you as a single in putting that into your life. It starts now that you learn, how do I lead with grace? And that's for men and women, singles and married. This is your time. If we want to have families that influence Taipei and Taiwan, say, this is the way that God intended family to be, then begin now. All right? Are we making sense? Is this okay?
Yeah.
All right, so... And this is okay for you singles too?
Yeah.
Are we getting something? All right? Is it okay for all the parents? Okay for all the kids? You know, we need to have some church services with just kids. With us, like we do on Christmas. You know, to close today, I just want to speak a blessing over the church. And so, Father, I thank you for this church body that you've called us together to be a reflection of you. And God, I pray that this week, thanksgiving and praise would be on our lips. And that throughout this week, Lord, we'd open our mouths and declare your goodness to others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thanks for being here today. Let's go be the church.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.